Good evening, everybody. One of the most beautiful words which I have heard ever, I heard from the Kreuzberg Rebbe. He said that Lo Yishinu Leshoinom, which in this chus, May Israel went out of Mitzrayim, means that they spoke Yiddish. What does it mean, Yiddish? In Mitzrayim, 3,500 years ago, approximately. He explains. He said, what is Yiddish? Yiddish is a Jewish dialect. Everywhere when Jews came, they took the local language and destroyed it and create a new style. In Europe, they did it to German. In Arab states, they also spoke a very special style of Arabic. In Mitzrayim, they spoke Egyptian, but in their own style. So today we'll hear the Yiddish, means the new style of English, which is spoken in Eretz Yisrael. I have heard rumors that Rav Neuwirth is going to speak against the army. I participated last Tuesday in Binyanei Uma in the great convention against Lashon Hora. It is a plain Lashon Hora. I never speak against. Undoubtedly not against people who sacrifice their lives for us. I speak for Yiddishkeit, for Limud Torah, but not against. First of all, I want to emphasize, since Simchas Torah, I spoke in many places in front of Yeshiva Bochum, and on the first place, I emphasized that we must have a kol ha'atayim to everybody who contribute something for us, undoubtedly, who endanger his life for us, undoubtedly, kal v'chomer ben Moshe kal v'chomer, when he endanger his life for us, for everybody. One who is not feeling hakol ha'atayim, the chinuch says that there is no mida menuveles yoiser, excuse me. Moshe Rabbeinu has to feel hakol ha'atayim to the sand of Mitzrayim, to the water of the Nile, even though the Nile and the water of the Nile was avoid the Zohar. And even though the Nile didn't mean to protect him, to cover him, but since he got any sort of satisfaction, of toilets, of anything good for himself, he felt a closer to it. Furthermore, the Torah says, Lo yisisai mitzri, ki geir ha'isho le'arso. It's mamish a scandal. We have to feel gratitude to the Egyptians for what? They killed us. They took our babies and used them as material for building. They threw the babies to the Nile in order to kill all of the Jewish newborn male. Nevertheless, when there was a female, when there was a hangar all around the area, you found a shelter in Mitzrayim, you must feel a cause of it. I'm not going to make any comparison, but it's kal v'chomer ben noshel kal v'chomer ben noshel kal v'chomer 100 million times that we have to feel hakol ha'atayim to each one who fight for us, endanger his life for us, and even if somebody has many details of criticism, it doesn't make any difference. Hakol ha'atayim should be felt, and that's on the first place. The sugya of not going to the army for yeshiva students is divided into three sections. Number one, those who sit and learn. Number two, those who stop from being Bnei Yisachar and started to be Bnei Zvulun. Number three, the way how to do it. Thank you. Good night. Everybody could now sleep. The way how to do it. Tomorrow we will not be able to do the following. ברוך אתה אדוני אלוהינו מלך העולם שהכול נהיה בדברו. Those who finish to be Bnei Yeshivis means Bnei Yisoshkar, and started to be Bnei Zuzu. Number three, referring to number two, how to deal with it? How to do it? What is the way to deal with it? When you ask Yeshiva Bocher why Yeshiva students are not going to the army, you hear all sorts of shoes, unfortunately. Number one, they say, we are against the state. Why should we protect it? There is Rashi in Eruvim on Beis Omud Beis who refer to such a statement. Rashi says as follows. V'harei shtuyot harbe. The army's mission is to defend the state, any state. Do you know somebody who agrees to sacrifice his life for the state? People don't defend states. People defend people. Jews are in danger. Not only the state, not mainly the state. Jews are attacked. When the Arab attack on Simchat Torah, they don't say, let's kill the Israeli. Atbach el Israeli. They scream, Atbach el Yahud. Every Yid, every Jew is threatened. And the army's mission is to protect them and to kill the enemies of them, of us, of everybody. Second, they say that the whole hatred of the Arab is because of the state. If the state was not founded, no hatred was arising. Beautiful statement. Beautiful claim. So beautiful to be Amoritz. It's so beautiful to be boorish. You don't have to think at all. Before the state of Israel, all the Jews in the world lived in, especially in Europe, in Germany, under the Spain Inquisition, in Poland, yes, in Auschwitz. No one was killed by the Arab countries. Also, you know that in Mashhad, in Persia, there was and still there is a community of Anusim, people who had to pretend to be Muslim, otherwise they would be killed. Besides, you don't believe in the Torah? The Torah said, "Vehu yeh tere odom." The Torah doesn't say that "Hu yeh tere odom miharega shetukam medinat Yisrael." So the fact that Ishmael is tere odom is something eternal. Always was, always will be till the end of the days when he will become Baal Tshuva, as Chazal said, that he will repent, finally. But so, we don't see it in the horizon. And even if it's so, even if the state of Israel is to be blamed, so what? Did you hear the story which almost happened in Bnei Brak a few years ago in Yom Kippur, Chal B'Shabbes, in Slabodka Yeshiva? The story that almost happened. Dov Lando, the Rosh Yeshiva, went out of his home, and the fellow was standing on the roof of the yeshiva and said, Rosh Yeshiva, look, I'm going to force you to be Mechalel Yom Kippur Shechalel Yom Shabbos. And he jumped on the head from the roof down to the pavement. The Rosh Yeshiva said, I didn't cause him to do it. I didn't ask him to do it. He did it. So I'm not going to deal with it. So Rosh Yeshiva wouldn't say it. He would run and be Mechalel Yom Kippur Shechalel Yom Shabbos in order to try to save him. After all, he will make an account with him. But it doesn't make any difference why the Sakone is arising. If there is Sakone now, everybody is mechuyev in lo yisamo et adam re'echo nekuda. No one could deny it. And this is also reason to be grateful to those who do it physically, personally. So why we are not going to... When I say we, I don't mean to such an old man like me. I refer to my grandchildren. The reason is based on five principles. If you accept the five principles, you have to accept the consequences. If you don't accept the consequences, it means that you didn't accept one or more of the five principles, so we have to concentrate on them and to argue around them. The principles are as follows. I will say the five principles, and I will say few words on each one of them after. Number one, Yesh Elokim. Number two, there are two dimensions in the universe, physical and spiritual. Number three, there are interrelations between the physical and the spiritual dimensions. Number four, Odom, is in charge to operate these interrelations between the physical and the spiritual dimension. Number five, the Torah is a manual book with all the orders, with all the details, how human beings should operate the interrelations between the physical and spiritual dimension. Let's explain it a little bit more. Number one, Yesh Elohim. I want to tell you something. On the last almost 50 years, more than 4 years, I was appointed to be on the border between the Haredim and the secular world. In Israel, in America, in Europe, in South America, all around the world. I know them. I know them very well. And I want to tell you, Bayom, in the day, the secular would admit, would acknowledge that the true one really believe in Elohim, 95 of the misunderstandings will be solved. Because what they think that we think about the existence of, they think that Elohim is true. Then Shishi, modern tune. To take stick and sukkah, to eat a piece of something of, we say in Hebrew, a dict in Pesach, to put strange boxes on the head, on the hand, to fast on Tisha B'av and Yom Kippur, and to torture the secular. To admit that the true one really believe in Elohim. That we really think not only that there is Elohim, but Elohim means the one and only real power in the world. It's really a total news. We don't believe that we believe. Rabbi Kaplan, you know Rabbi Kaplan, he was a brilliant scientist. In 1977, he was admitted to be number one in Who is Who program in all the television stations in the United States from sea to sea, from New York to Los Angeles. And he left all his scientific activities to become, he was always from, but he was also a scientist. He left behind all his scientific career in order to become a rabbi in a small congregation, I think in New Jersey. In one of his essays, he tells that one of the old members in his congregation, an old man who came 3 times a day on time to the prayers and participated in all the activities and all the shiurim, he approached him and told him, "Well, Rabbi, tell me, how come did you left behind such a brilliant scientific career to become rabbi in our small congregation?" I told him, said Rabbi Ari Kaplan, "I believe that God has a mission for me." Old man was looking like somebody that light caught him. With such an astonishment, he asked him, "Rabbi, you want to tell me that you really believe in God? What do you think that the rabbis think about the existing of God? It's good for business." Getting better, and humble, yes. But giving shiurim, singing on kumzitz, and going out to the camp, dancing, running, and speaking Divrei Torah, and expiring Divrei Torah. All this is Yiddishkeit. But admit, to understand, to grasp, that we really believe that there is a Elohim who is the only one real power which operates anything and everything in the universe, great news for them. So I give them an example. What does it mean to believe in Elohim? Imagine a fellow was falling from 5,000 meters from a rock downward, and he sees the rocks preparing for him a welcome. No one in the area. He is alone. He and the rocks. In his despair, he tried to catch something, and he caught a piece of wood getting out of the rock, and he remained hanged on this piece of wood bein ha-shamayim v'aretz, between sky and earth. No one in the area. But Tarlo, he said, "Ribbono shel olam, only you can help me. Please, save me." He hears a voice, deep voice, saying, "I am Elohim. I can save you. Do you believe in me?" "Yes!" "You really believe in me?" "Really!" "You will do whatever I will tell you?" "Yes, Shabbos, Kashrus, Mishpoch, everything!" So, leave. This is La'amin be'Elohim. One day, I said it in front of a crowd, a Russian new immigrant, you know, such a he was looking like a world heavy weight box price. You never want to meet such a fellow in the dark, in the corner of the street. He approached me and said, Rav, Ozev et Ha'etz, you will leave the piece of wood? I told him, it's unfair what you do to me. What do you want me to say? To say, yes, I am Moshe Groys, I will do it. And what will you, and what I will do if tomorrow Hashem will test me? We say every day, Shelo Yevienu Lidei Nisayon, Shelo Nagel Lidei Nisayon. The distinction between me and you is not that I will leave the piece of wood and you not. The distinction is that I at least know that this is a real test. I told all this story with a Russian guy in front of people from Yeshiva Tichonit, and in the crowd was sitting one of the greatest Talmidei Chachamim in Yerushalayim, at conference. I think know him. His name is Rabbi Yedidya Menah. He approached me and told me afterwards, Lo Amar Shatov, you didn't say it properly. I understand that you can say yes, I will leave the piece of, but you cannot also say that you don't know. You had to say that your great grand, your ancestors and my ancestors left the piece of wood hundreds of thousands of times during the history. Not always there was Hitler who killed everybody. Kamamim kakofer keoved ha'elokim kasher lo avado. Christians usually gave the Jews, gave their victims the opportunity to survive. One word you have to say, as Kuzari said, in order to live in peace, in order to live in the height of the world, and Jews choose to die. They left the peace of God. This is the meaning of Lehamin Be'elokim, to sacrifice things. Number two, the spiritual dimension is not something to speak about with tears in the eyes only. The spiritual dimension is a real dimension on the same manner and much more than the physical one. And the interrelation between the spiritual dimension and the physical dimension always exists. You want me to show you how there are interrelations between the spiritual dimension and the physical dimension? I'm going to show you now, here in this hall. Be ready. One, two, I'm going to show you. Don't be afraid. I'm going to show you how the spiritual dimension and the physical dimension are interrelated. One, two, three. Did you see? What happened? My soul, my nefesh, ordered my brain to operate the nerve system, which operated the muscles of the hand, and the hand knocked the table, and there was a noise. It is everything which we do is an example of interrelation between spiritual and physical. And we admit that in the everybody's body, everybody's entity, everybody's self, there is such interrelation. There are such interrelations. On the same manner that I operate my own duality of soul and body, I also operate the duality of the spiritual, general spiritual dimension and the physical spiritual dimension, physical dimension. How to do it? The Torah gives us instructions. If you obey, if you follow the instructions, you will do it properly. If not, you destroy everything. All these five problems, I want to tell you in the side remarks. I want to tell you something. Before we are going to ask what the Torah really writes about the how to operate war, how to behave when there is a war. Because if the Torah gives us instruction, war is undoubtedly an happening which is depend on these interrelations. Because the Pasuk said, Lia Kesef, the Lia Zahav Omar Hashem, the Milchamot Ani Asiti. Milchama, undoubtedly we have to ask the Torah how to operate it before. It's not things to believe only. It's things which could be known by everybody, could be proven. I'm going to give you now a present. The worth of the present that you are going to get now is approximately $100 million. You can pay it together. I will give you afterward my details of the bank account. It's $1 million present. $100 million, I forgot. Yeah, in one statement I lose $99 million. Mishnah says in Masechet Sanhedrin, Kol Yisroel yesh lohem chelek v'ayu lo mabo, ve'elu she'en lohem chelek
Haminim, like Mikonosim, Ba Oimer, and Trias Lameisim in a Torah. Rashi, on the place, says, Afilu im Omer Shumamin Betrias Lameisim Be'emunosoi. Even if he said that he believed in Trias Lameisim, but not in a Torah, Ein lo chelek bo elo mavo. He is still the same as the Pikoyos. Kima lanu ve'emunosoi. The Muslim believed in Muhammad, that Muhammad went out to the desert and met the angel Gabriel, who gave him the Quran. Who saw it? Two witnesses, Muhammad and the angel Gabriel. The angel Gabriel refuses to give his testimony, so we remain with the testimony of Muhammad, and you have to believe to the story of somebody who went out to the desert forgetting to take a picture. That's Emunoso. Christians believe. Believe, they say that they admit that they only believe blindly that Jesus was born in unnatural way. Eshes Ish, because she was Meureses. Meureses means Eshes Ish. That her fiancé was far away, and suddenly there is a baby. Mamzer. She was in a trouble. She had to create a story, you know. One of my sons, when he was 2 years old, came from the kindergarten with his pants wet. His mother asked him, what does it mean? She said that his friend made it in his pants. It's much more logical than the story of Christianity. They have to create a story, and the followers believe in it blindly. Says Rashi, Ma lanu ve'emunosoi. What about somebody who says that he believes in Tzias? Min ha'toiro ve'batoiro. He is mining the emunoso. Why will you not say the same malam of the emunoso? What's the distinction? Here in Rashi is written that the Torah is not emunoso. In Sefer Shmois, Parshat Isro is written, Ato ho eiso lo das, ki Hashem o Elokim. It's a proven yediye. It's not a plain emunoso. Now, somebody said, Ani mining the Trias Amesim, because I have the best scientific proofs, the deepest logical proofs, and the widest philosophical proofs, but not in Atoyot. He still will be considered, he still will be defined as a Epikoros, because he says, and Siyasa Misim in Atoyot. What is written here? That the idea that the Torah is true, that Maimon Rav Siman was an historical event in front of a huge throne, is more clear than something which you have about the best proofs, scientific, logical, and philosophical. All this is written in Rashi. It's not worth $100 in such a Rashi. And I have certificates, many certificates, that I can show it. Mm-hmm. Somebody would ask me, when I would wanted, had wanted to be born, I would say that I had wanted to be born when I was born. Not because I had such a smooth life. Not at all. I was an orphan. My father passed away when I was a teenager. My younger sister was around 9-10 years old when she became sick. It was not easy. My mother is a Shoah, a survivor. It was not so easy. However, when I was 23 years old, they took me to join a group, a very special group of thinkers, some of them Balei Tshuva, scientists, and some of them Bnei Yeshivas, who created the most important invention from Maimon Rav Sinai until today. The proof system of Amitus Satori. This system was given in seminars in Hebrew, English, French, Spanish, Portuguese, Russian, Italian, German, in all the languages excluding the Chinese and the language of the birds. I alone gave it in Hebrew, in English, and also in Spanish and Portuguese, even though that I don't speak these languages, with simultaneous translation in Brazil, in Argentina, in Vancouver, Canada, everywhere, all around the globe. Never ever there was somebody who claimed that he could refute even one detail from the thousands which built. We know that there was my mother's life. We know that the Torah. So when the Torah gives us the instruction how to operate the world, we know that these are the real true instructions which have such an influence without everything. Now, what the Torah says about Jewish army, how Jewish army should be looks like.
Everybody knows about the partnership between Yisrochor and Zvulun. Yisrochor was sitting and learning, Zvulun went out for business, even though that he alone was a Talmid Chacham, because Zvulun is the only one name. The Beis Hamikdash is implanted in his name. Zvulun. Beis Zvul is Beis Hamikdash. He alone was a Talmid Chacham, but he was not a Talmid Chacham Sheteyoso. His life was a combination of Toyo and Derech Eretz, while Yisrochor was only Toyo. And they were partners. Zvulun gave Yisrochor's share in his income and took his share in Yisrochor's schuyos that everybody knows. Mishneh Berurah brings this shutfus la'aloche in Siman Kuf Nun Vav in Diro Rabbi Aloche. In Siman Kuf Nun Vav is written that after a fellow finished his davening, he should go to be koveah itim la'toyo. After he finished his studies, he should go to business. To make a living. That's halacha. Says the Mishneh Berurah in Biur Halacha, not everybody is obliged. Two sort of people are not obliged. Those who are like Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, who maskir themselves to Limud Torah, and those who have partner as Yisrochor. It's halacha. What people not that don't know so common, etc. Zohar on Parshat Ba'alo Yisrochor is written that the shutfus between Yisrochor and Zvulun was not merely on business, on supporting each one, but also in Chemesh Mitzvah of Israel. Zohar says as follows: Bizman Sheyisrochor Yashav Lamad Torah, Zvulun Agich Krove, and all what he accomplished, he conquered, also the Nachlo of Yisrochor, he gave to his brother. Says Chacham Sofer, Lachen Kosu, this is the reason that the Pasuk says, Smach Zvulun Betzeisecho V'Yisrochor Bo'alecho. Why Zvulun was so happy in comparison to the other tribes? Because he knew that he has a partner sitting and learning. So when he went out to fight, he was some, I will tell you, many, many years ago, there was Afghana in Kikar Malchei Rabim in Tel Aviv, Kikar Rabim, Kikar Malchei Israel, I don't know how you call it today, 400 billion people participated in this Afghana according to the newspapers. Yes. Four Jews in the yeshiva. Two officers with knitted kippah sruga from Mevo Choron. One's name is Rav Seren Meir Indor, and the other one, that I think that he already passed away, Rav Seren Tuvia Rosenzweig. They arranged Afghana of demonstration of Anshei Miluim, that he is against Jews nation, for the learning of nation. And they invited me also to the body of the organizers. Each one from the participators got a mission. My mission with Rav Yona Dovrat, who is still today, he's a very old man today. He was then much older than me, and I never saw that I became elder than him. So today he is also much elder than me. Today he is really old man. And appointed us to go to Gdolei Yisrael to get permission for this Afghana. Rav Yona Dovrat told me, why should we go from one to one? I will go to Reb Avrom Shapira, Rosh Yeshiva of Merkaz Arab. You go to Rav Shach. If we get the brocha from these two Gdolim, we have everybody. He is the leader of the Tzionim Datiim and Rav Shach of the Haredim. So we will do it easy. And actually he went to Rav Avraham Shapira, got his permission and brocha, and I went to Rav Shach. And Rav Shach agreed and gave me his brocha. I was by him with my friends, Rav Simcha Cohen, Zichrono Livracha, and Rav Noach Hertz from Yesodot, Yivadel Chaim. Rav Seren Meir Indor said in the Mesibat Itonaim, in the, how do you say it? Press conference, he said, on the same manner as I'm not letting my tanks units to go out to the battle before I make sure that they have oil in their tanks, I'm not going to let them to go out to the battle before I know that Yeshiva and Bochurim are sitting now and learning Gemara. And afterward, it's there, really, huh? He never learned in Yeshiva, but he is observant. He is mining, and he knows the truth which I have said till now. Now, Gemara
נדולם למד בייס עומד בייס. מפני מה ירדו בני ישראל למצרים ונשתעבדו בארבע מאות שנה? אומר רבי אבאו, מפני שעשה אברום אבינו אנגריה בתלמידי חכמים. אברום אבינו went to fight against the four great powers of the time, who just then succeeded to defeat the five other great powers. And Avraham Avinu didn't have more than 318 soldiers. Really impressive huge army. Among them some Talmidei Chachomim. He didn't have to take them. And since he took them, they Yisrael Yordu and Mitzrayim Nishtabdu ba-400 Shana. Says Rav Avraham Yitzchok, HaKohen Kuk, Zecher Tzadik Livroche. In Igrois HaReaya, Igeres Taf Taf Yud. I quote, Milo Bebilo, word by word. ויותר מזה ראינו את גדולת האיסור לעשות אנגריה בתלמידי חכמים אפילו במלחמת מצווה גדולה מאוד, שהרי מלחמת אברהם אבינו עליה נאמר ייתן כאפר חרבו כקש נידף קשתו. Nevertheless, since he took some תלמידי חכמים, Rabbi said that this is one of the reasons of getting to Mitzrayim. Maharal says in Gvuras Hashem Dafnu, I quote, שהיה אברהם אבינו צריך להאמין ולא לקחת את מי שלא צריך לקחת, להאמין שזה כוח הטרור. גמורה מגיל לדף ג', המלך קיין רביוקת יהושע בן נון and told him, אמש ביטלתם תומים של בין הארבעים ועטו ביטלתם טרור. בלילה, at night, there was ביטל טרור among the soldiers in מלחמת ארץ ישראל, מלחמת מצווה, מלחמת חייבו. אסכים יהושע, ועל מה באת? He said, עטו באתי. שביטלתם תוירו. מיד צז לגמורה, לפוסוק צז ויאלם בעמק, שלם יהושע באומקה של הלוך. Ask the elder of Slobodke, סלם Slobodke שואל, if the problem was that they didn't learn, the גמורה had to say, מיד למדו תורה. What does it mean, שלם באומקה של הלוך? צז the elder of Slobodke, they learned. The demand was, why didn't you learn the Iyun? Why didn't you learn the Umko Shel Aloche? This should be corrected.
No, what do I mean? I'm going to give you a second present today, tonight. It's already $200 million.
Amchal, Derech Hashem, Chelek Dalet, Perek Beit, says as follows.
I'm going to say it in Hebrew because you only pretend not to understand.
HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bara Hashpa'a spiritual influence, שהיא מעין אמיתת מצפו. This is the highest thing which could be spoken about. Something, power, a spiritual power which is bestowed down, which is like his real existence. וכושר השפוע זויס בתוירו, בהיגיון ובהשכלה. היגיון means to read, השכלה means to understand. When somebody only reads the Torah, he pulls down a portion of this Ashpoe, not to compare to one who maskil, means mevin, understand the Torah, and it's not to compare one who maskil me'at lemi shemaskil harbe. If somebody understands deeper, he pulls down much more. I will tell you something in personal, something very personal. My father was a rich man when he was young, around 40, 45. He had he was a Tassian. His factory ran from itself. He had to work only 3 hours a day. The rest of the day he gave shiurim all around Tel Aviv. My son found many, many old newspaper from 8 years ago that Rav Noyerschel was giving shiur here and shiur there. Rav Noyerschel, who gave shiurim 8 years ago, didn't start the study by the Malach on that time. It was my father. Then the factory collapsed and he had to start to work hard for Parnassah. We moved from Tel Aviv to Netanya and he worked quite hard and tried to devote some time every day for learning, especially Shabbos. When he was 56 years old, you know, in Tchiyat HaMeisim, I would have to stand in front of my father would have to stand in front of me. I will have to stand in front of him because Kibud Alayim. He will have to stand in front of me because of Mipnei Seiva Lakum. Because I am now much elder than he was when he passed away. The last birthday present which my mother bought for him was to his 56th birthday.
immediately after he became very sick, and that was the run way to the end. This was the only time that my mother relied on me, that I will buy the present. The one and only time. I was the youngest Yilvoch. And on that time, one of them, Acholim, or Mosad Hav Kuk, published Chidushei HaRamban al Ashaf, in a nice edition with remarks. I bought two volumes, packed it nice, and gave it to him. He opened it. He saw what is it. And with a sad smile, he told me, Moti, it's not for me already. I cannot learn in this level. It's for you. And I understood suddenly, what does it mean? Kechitzim b'yad gibor ken bnei ha'neurim. In order to pull down this ashtoy, we need the youngster, the most powerful people, physically and spiritually and mentally. They have to sit, because they are capable of sitting and learning more than such an old schmatter like myself. You know, in Marcos, the Fiyud Amudalek, עומדות היו רגלינו בשערי ירושלים, אם לא שערי ירושלים שהיו עוסקים בתורה, לא היו יכולים רגלינו לעמוד במלחמה. גמור הסנהדרין לפני חסם עוד א', אם לא דוד שהיה יושב לו מתורה, לא יכול יואב לעשות מלחמה. I have Piskei Halachos from Oldenburg, from Rav Herzog, from Rav Kook, from Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kook, from Rav Shaul Yisraeli, from Rav Mordechai Eliyahu, from Rav Avraham Shapira. Not to speak about all those who in the street they are called Haredim, Sfaradim, Ashkenazim, Hasidim, everybody. But this is what should be done. People ask me, how could you explain it to secular? I say, no problem at all. I'll give you an example. You know what is Kanaf Stein wing number 2 of the Israeli Air Force? I'll tell you. Wing number 2 is the wing that the Iranian and all the people around who know something are very afraid of. This is a secret wing. The best talents are taken there. They have a basis, not far away from here. And after a year, they looked after me secretly in order to be sure that I will get a permission to enter inside. Finally, I got a permission. And they wanted to send me a driver. I told them, no, I'm not sitting next to a driver. I'm very afraid that he will drive like mine. So I'm not confident to sit next to a driver. I drive alone. So I said, okay, they agreed. Take the road, and then take another road. And then you will see a small road with the sign of Ein Knisa. Enter. I told them I know how to do it. I have very many proofs in the police. I know how to do it. When you enter the Ein Knisa, you are followed. Don't try to be overhook. Drive straight. Don't take right. Don't take left. If stop or you do any shtus, they will follow on you. You are observed from that moment. I arrive to the walls of the base. There is still a huge gate that no one in the world can open it. Only one soldier who knows the code. Every 15 minutes, the code is changed and another soldier knows it. He knows the code only for 15 minutes. After he made the negotiation with me on the phone and they saw that I have a certificate, they open the gate and I go into a tunnel. Before the gate is closed behind me, the gate ahead will never be able to be opened. And the gate inside also has a code that every 15 minutes it changes, and every 15 minutes another soldier. They opened it. And you find yourself, I found myself in Gan Eden. It's a natural reserve with beautiful animals, with horns. Beautiful. The animals are not afraid of people because the soldiers are playing with them. And I got the permission to go straight to the main building of the bases. I gave the lectures and I will tell, and they took me straight out and they said, I didn't see anything. But I know what they have all about. One day we have a lecture in front of all the wing. The commander was Aluf Mishne Yoram Shachar. The one who gave the lecture was my friend Harav Ze'ev Getz Zichrono Yuracha. He was Mashgiach in Yeshivas Itre. He also was one of our group. He gave the yeshiva in Emune. One of the participants asked him about Giyus Neyeshivot. The commander, Aluf Mishne Yoram Shachar, told him, don't answer, continue in your lecture. After the lecture was over, we approached him and asked him, why didn't you let us explain the issue of Giyus Neyeshivot? He said, listen,
One who asks here about Yuzmei Shivot, he is undoubtedly a provocator. Because everybody here knows that we invest tens of millions of dollars every year in order to produce all sorts of tricks to defend on pilots, on planes, on other things, in hypothetic occurrences, that 95% that they will never occur. Nobody think about cancel the project, because maybe once it will help. I don't know what is Torah all about, but I have a cousin who is professor of physics in Bar-Ilan University, and he sent his son to learn in yeshiva, and he claimed that this is a protect mechanism. What can I, how can I relate to it? How can I react? In one of three ways. Either to go for 2 or 3 years to learn Torah and to know what Torah is all about, and then I will be able either to agree or to disagree, or to fight against it without knowing what is Torah, or shock, to remain silent, to remain mute. Since I don't have the time to invest 2 or 3 years to learn what Torah is all about, and I'm not so irresponsible to fight against something that I don't understand what it is. However, some very intelligent people claim that this is a defense mechanism. And I know that there are defense mechanisms which people who don't understand in it will not understand how. So I don't have zchut ha-shtika, but chovat ha-shtika. I don't have the right to remain mute, but the obligation to not to speak about it, not to react. $1 million now I have, because you will give me 200 million. So I offer $1 million to one who will show me that this claim of Aluf Mishneh Yoram Shachar is illogic, to break the logic of this claim. How come could you understand that 9 judges who never ever opened the Black Gemara, most of them, they don't know what Torah is all about, argue with Rav Dov Lando, who years ago already was considered as a masmid of the Jain, about the essence of Torah, about the meaning of Torah in the time of Milchoma, of war. I can understand. Intellectually, I can understand. You know, Israeli, if you ask Israel, you can operate F-16 aircraft. You say, I can try. Everybody understanding everything. I'm not such Israeli. I know only what I know. And I say such a thing only when my wife is not in the area. Because she will say that you don't know even what you know. Now, Velachem, you know, there is agreement, most of the people agree that those who really learn, we don't touch them. Some of them because they understand, some of them because they understand that it's above any argument. But what's with those who don't care? Went out from the yeshiva. What to do with them? I want to tell you something. When I was by Rav Shach on that occasion, 30, 35 years ago, he told me as follows: Ani lo yodea ma hem rotzim. Etzleinu, kshavrech mafsik lilmod, hu olech latzava v'yotze la'avod. By us, when avrech go out from the kollel, he goes to the army and go to work. Today he wouldn't say it. You know not why? Because everything has changed. You heard about General Ofer Winter, very famous name today. He is a religious high rank officer, very successful, very brilliant, and on all his way up to the highest ranks, they put obstacles in front of him because he is observant. Now he had to become aluf, and they didn't let him because of the same reason. He came to me. He sat by me 2 hours, and he told me as follows: Listen, 10 years I tried to bring, to create an atmosphere for the Haredim to be mobilized. I gave in. The army don't work. Don't do everything, not to do anything in order to welcome you, and to give you an opportunity to live according to your way. I was in the Knesset 2 or 3 weeks ago in Aseifa, Kinus, about Yuzmei Shivot, that I was about to make the summer, the Sakemet, to say the Sikum.
This was the attitude of all the army, is divided into two sorts of people. Some who don't want, some who want not to do it, because they want to change the way of life of the Haredim. And if the army, I will give you one example. The girls today are put in every corner. If you go through the machsamim, you will see always that there is bachur and bachura, and they speak with each other, and they seem to have a very nice time between themselves. It's the wise. You will never see shnei bachurim or shnei bachurot. Always bachur and bachura. If you want us, if you scream that you miss soldiers, do something. Even if they will do, of course. Because it's also in the Oraisa that the girls should be everywhere. The Oraisa starts from Mohammed Midian. Everywhere. I will give you an example. Very, very painful example. You know Rav Shmuel Eliyahu, my good friend? His mother, the Moshe Eliyahu's wife, used to call me that I would bring her cassette of shiurim, and I used to come to her to bring her. And the whole house, in Rabot Chayyahu house, my voice was very common. Shmuel Eliyahu, he is the chief rabbi of Tzfat. He is the extremist national Orthodox rabbi. It's no achi that Ilumi. He wrote in the beginning of the war. And the most terrible question which he was asked was as follows. It's not nice to say it, but I want to bring it to the extreme. A religious soldier who was mobilized in the beginning of the war was appointed to be in Namer, a Tiger. What is the Tiger? Tiger is a car with two benches inside that the soldiers could sit. He was appointed in such a Namer with two girls soldiers. They have to live in the Namer. They have to sleep in the Namer, they have to wash in the Namer, they have to change clothing inside the Namer for months. When he asked them, please give me two boys instead of, they said no, not because we don't have boys instead of, this is ideology. He asked Amodah Haria what to do. Amodah asked him, what's your wife's opinion? He is married. What's your wife's opinion? He said, when she will know, she will be shocked. Senator Shmuel Eliyahu, after he will come back from the war, we will have to treat him not only because of the trauma which he will go through, but we will have to rebuild again his house. Because during the war, Alevavot mit Karovim, if they fight together, they become very friendly. That's a principle. Rabbi Yigal Levinstein, Rosh HaMechila Shel Eli, that his soldier, his Talmidim going to the army, said in the media, I recommend to the Haredim not to go to the army because they want to change your way. Only if the army will make arrangement that it could be done, and it's not enough, the High Court should promise that he will not interfere. I called him. I looked for his phone number and I called him. You know, Amiga Levinstein, he is a widower, and he married second marriages with the wife of Ido Klein, the one very famous tzaddik who jumped on the bomb in order to save his soldiers. I called him. I told him, Rav Levinstein, מדבר אדם בשם מרדכי נוירשוט. אתה בטח לא מכיר. I don't know how, but he knew. And he was very happy to speak with me. First time in history. And I told him, צלצלתי כדי להגיד לך יישר כוח. אבל, שנינו יודעים, שגם אם בית המשפט העליון יבטיח, אי אפשר לסמוך עליהם. כי כבר הם המציאו את המשפט, הבטחנו, אבל לא הבטחנו לקיים. Even if the High Court will promise, but the progressive organization will make a demand and they will give in. Because the story of the girls everywhere is not because of the need, but because of the principle. Which principle? I will tell you. Rabbi Yitzchak Kuttner said, what's the difference between previous generations and today's? Said, yes, all was always. Yes, all was always. But always they knew that they had bad conscience. If you read of Comfort, undoubtedly knows by heart, Jewish from Neidebude. Lemashal, Chelek Eben Ha'ezer.
are terrible stories. Terrible. You cannot read it. You cannot read the stories. You must read it because you want to know the halachic approach. But Yetzer Hara was always from the, even in Gan Eden he appeared. However, today they made all the sins without that consciousness because they made out of it ideology. This is ideology. This is ideology. Don't have any bad conscience. I call the Seder. We are not going to fight against them. But what you want from us? We invest a lot of money, a lot of power to educate our children till they are 18, 20, 25. And now we will give them to you. We did not take the public schools. It was much easier to go. I was born in Netanya. I was born in Tel Aviv, but I was grown up in Netanya. I went to school to Talmud Torah in Netanya. You know what sort of Talmud Torah we have? When I came to be tested in the yeshiva in Tel Aviv, the Rosh Yeshiva said, I'm not Netanya. He didn't know how far he was right. There were public schools all around. But my parents didn't want me to go there. And it cost a lot of money also. And now we will give it to you and you will make... You say that you need soldiers? I don't believe you. Because if you really wanted me, you would have to show me that you want me. You have to make the arrangements. And you have to make me being calmed down that no one from outside will interfere after it will be very late. So there is a reason. How to do it? What happened on the last few weeks is really a scandal from all points of view. We wanted to launch laws, orders, as if you were natives. This is not the way to do things. And I said in this man, during the whole history of democracies, in any democracy, you never see that there are arguments or debates or battles between the democratic institutions and the religious leaders. Why? Because everybody understands. If you believe in Chukei HaTorah, Chukei HaElokim, and he believes in Chukei HaOdom, if Chukei HaOdom contradict, opposed, or are against Chukei HaElokim, no sensible man will say that Chukei HaElokim will not have more weight. So what they endeavor to do during the years, not to bring these two systems to collision. Here in Eretz Israel, on the first tens of years, there were smart judges in the High Court. Professor Moshe Zilber, Dr. Yitzhak Kister, even Chaim Cohen. Chaim Cohen was far away. He was a Cohen who married Grusha. But he was a Talmid Chochem. He knew. He knew what to do, what not to do. And they endeavor not to bring the two systems into no more. Today the High Court looks like being very happy from this sport to bring the system to a collision. They failed. Look what happened with the chief rabbis. They wanted to force the chief rabbi, the Yitzchok Yosef, to appoint rabbiot, reformiot in the Guf HaBocher to elect the rabbonim. They found with whom to argue. He didn't pay attention to them. They waited till his time will be over. His time was over. And now they try to appoint a substitution meanwhile, Memalei Makom, and they took Rabbi Yaakov Ruzha. He is in Moetzet Rabbon Zatashi. Rabbi Yaakov Ruzha is very admired also by them. Rabbi Yaakov Ruzha is the number one extra in Zihui Chalalim. And on the last half a year, he worked around the clock all the time with all these who, with halachic, very terrible questions. And so they appointed him. After 2 days, he resigned. They went to Rav Ratzon Arusi from Kiryat Ono. Stupid people. Rav Ratzon Arusi is Yemenite. No one could take a millimeter from here to there. He's so stubborn. He threw them from all the steps. He will not change. He is also doctor of law. So they thought that he is from them. He is not. I know him. We are very good friends. So the High Court retreat took back and everything was over. That's what will happen always when they will make a collision. Not this way, but this is the way to do. Don't
fight against Gedolei Torah. Do the things we have. Sit down again and again and find a way. Perhaps a way will be found, but if you go against it, will not be found. I want to end with the last remark. The reason that I spoke such a long time is because I promised to speak such a long time. But the whole lecture could be take only 13 seconds as follows. We are following the orders of our commanders on the same manner as no one would try to say to a sergeant not to obey to the order of his commander. No one could tell us not to obey to order of our commanders, and our commanders are the Gedolei Torah. People say, but the Gedolei Torah, they are very old. Perhaps they don't understand the situation. Sholem Bersorotsky came once to Rav Chaim Kanievsky and told him, Rebbe, you know, the people around say that the Rav is not lo b'inyanim. Chaim Kanievsky told him on the spot, it was already said. He asked, mi amar et zeh? He said, Korach. However, I want to tell you something. Don't lie to me, in my opinion. I know very well the top level of Gedolei Torah. Because 4 years I was by Rav Eliashiv. The last time that I asked Rav Eliashiv, he was very old. He said, I don't answer to new questions. Go to Rav Shteinman. So I was by Rav Shteinman. When Rav Shteinman passed away, I started to go to Moshe Hillel. I didn't go to Rav Kershon. Because I think that Moshe Hillel is closer to the sort of questions that I ask because he's American and he knows he's more involved. So since then I go to Moshe Hillel. Dov Landau is a miracle. When Avshach was 70 years old, till 70 years old, everybody knew that Avshach doesn't understand anything in anything but learning. He was wandering by Briskerov. When the Torah was coming to Briskerov to take advice, to discuss things, and one time one of them said, let's ask Rabbi Elazar Menachem. He was wondering, Briskerov said, leave him, he doesn't understand anything, only learning. Suddenly, when he became 70 years old, the whole world was under the power of him. You don't know what. Dov Landau is even more miracle, because till 90, he didn't do anything, God was absorbed in learning. Dov Landau wrote a letter that I think it is a genius letter. He didn't write any word against the army. He didn't write any word against the state of Israel. He didn't write any word against the government. He didn't write any word against the Knesset. Only against the army. And that's the way that he also showed them that you also, at least 50% of the Knesset, understand the terrible approach of the army. How does the Torah understand it? Why is our obligation to follow them? The Goyim says, Sefer Mishlei, Perek Tzayin, Posuk Dalet, Ketem al Siftei Melech, Bemishpat lo im al piv. Again, Ketem, miracle. I don't want to have to say witchcraft, but like a miracle. Ketem al Siftei Melech, Bemishpat lo im al piv. Says the Goyim. Man Malchei Rabbonon, Afilu im Omrim lehem Dvarim lo Nechonim. יש קסם על שבטיהם שהקדוש ברוך הוא דואג שמה שהם יגידו זה מה שיש. We are in Knesset Agro. It's very, very appropriate to finish with a statement from the God. Thank you.